الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه، نستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الفضلاء، نواصل درسنا في شرح نواقض الإسلام، وكنا قد توقفنا على الناقض الثامن من نواقض الإسلام، وهو مظاهرة المشركين ومعاونتهم على المسلمين. والدليل قوله تعالى: ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. إن مظاهرة المشركين أي مشايعتهم ومساعدتهم ومعاونتهم على المسلمين، هذه المظاهرة والمعاونة التي يكون من نتائجها المساعدة على انتصار المشركين على المسلمين أو رفع شأن الكافرين أعلى من المسلمين، فإن هذا كفر بلا شك، وخصوصا إذا اقترنت بمحبة المشركين ورغبة في نصرهم على المسلمين ومسرة بارتفاع دينهم أي بارتفاع دين الكفار. قال شيخنا الشيخ أحمد النجمي رحمه الله: من أعان المشركين والكافرين واليهود والنصارى على المسلمين فهذا يعد كافرا، وعمله كفر، لأن مظاهرة المشركين على المسلمين دليل على توليهم دون المسلمين، والتولي دليل على محبة ملتهم الكفرية وإيثارها على الإسلام، ولا شك أن هذا كفر موجب للخروج من الملة، موجب للخروج من الملة. وليس المراد بتولي المشركين والكفار التعاون مع على شيء محرم مما حرمه الإسلام ومنعه، وذلك أن بعض جعل أقوام من الكفار على منع الإرهاب الذي حرمه الله ورسوله، جعلوا ذلك كفرا وارتدادا. قال شيخنا رحمه الله: والحق الذي يجب المصير إليه أنه إذا عرضت علينا فئات من أهل الكفر أن نتعاون معها ويتعاونوا معنا على محاربة شيء مما يمنعه الإسلام، ويأمر بمحاربته ومنعه، فإن لنا أن نفعل ذلك، مثل منع الزنا أو محاربة الإرهاب الذي هو التفجيرات التي يقوم عليها البعض من الناس من المسلمين ويزعمون أن ذلك عبادة، فلنا أن نتعاون معهم على ذلك، يعني على إزالة مثل هذا الإرهاب وهذه الأعمال المسيئة للإسلام. لكن إذا عرضت علينا فئة من فئات الكفار، مثلا أن نحارب الحجاب أو اللحى التي أمر الله بإعفائها أو أي شيء من مظاهر الإسلام، فهذا لا شك أنه لا يجوز، بل من فعله وتعاون معهم وظاهرهم عليه فإنه يعد متوليا لأهل الكفر ومتظاهرا معهم على أهل الإسلام، وهذا نوع ردة، وهذا نوع من أنواع الردة، نعوذ بالله من ذلك. كما ذكر شيخنا رحمه الله، وموالاة الكفار ومظاهرتهم على ثلاثة أوجه، على ثلاثة أوجه. الوجه الأول أن يكون متوليا للكفار توليا تاما مطلقا تاما، فخرج من ملة الإسلام، هذا كفر مخرج من ملة الإسلام، وهذا مراد من أطلق الكفر، لقوله تعالى: ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين، ولقوله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وأولياء تلقون إليهم بالمودة. قال الإمام ابن جرير رحمه الله: من تولاهم ونصاهم على المؤمنين فهو من أهل دينهم وملتهم. وقال الشيخ عبد اللطيف بن عبد الرحمن أهل الشيخ رحمه الله: قد فسرته السنة وقيدته وخصته بالموالاة المطلقة العامة، بالموالاة المطلقة العامة، فهذا يكون كفر. قال الشيخ السعدي رحمه الله: إذا كان توليا تاما كان ذلك كفرا، كان ذلك كفرا. الوجه الثاني أن يكون لأجل تحصيل مصلحة خاصة للمتولي والمظاهر، أن يكون لأجل مصلحة خاصة للمتولي والمظاهر، وليس هناك ما يلجئ إليها من خوف ونحوه، من خوف ونحوه، فهذا محرم وليس بشرك. فهذا محرم وليس بشرك، أن يكون له المصلحة خاصة للمتولي والمظاهر، وليس هناك ما يلجئ إليها من خوف وحسد، هذا محرم وليس بشرك. فقصة خاطب بن أبي بلتع رضي الله عنه عندما أرسل رسالة إلى الكفار إلى أهله في مكة وعلى الكفر يخبرهم بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سوف يغزو مكة، مع أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم منع ذلك، فأرسل الرسول من يذهب وراء حاطب، حيث أن حاطب أرسل رسالة مع امرأة ذهب إلى مكة، فلحقوا بالمرأة وأخرجوا الرسالة. طبعا الصحابة قال يا رسول الله دعني أضرب عنقه، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما يريد، إن الله اطلع على أهل بدر فقال اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. وكان حاطب رضي الله عنه ممن شهد بدرا، وقد ناداه الله تعالى باسم الإيمان يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أمانكم، وناداه باسم الإيمان، فدل ذلك على أنه لم يكفر. هذا هو الوجه الثاني. الوجه الثالث أن تكون بسبب خوف من الكفار ونحوه، أن يكون بسبب خوف من الكفار ونحوه، فالحكم في ذلك الجواز بشرط أن يكون هذا التولي في الظاهر دون الباطن، بشرط أن يكون هذا التولي في الظاهر دون الباطن. والدليل قوله تعالى إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقات، إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقات. قال الإمام ابن كثير رحمه الله إلا ما في بعض البلدان والأوقات، إلا من خاف في بعض البلدان والأوقات من شرهم فله أن تكون تلك المؤنث بظاهره لا بباطنه، أن تكون بظاهره لا بباطنه ونيته، يكون بالظاهر وفي النية، كما قال البخاري، كما جاء في البخاري هنا في الدرداء إننا لنكشر في وجوه الأقوام وقلوبنا تلعنهم. فهذه تكون في الظاهر دون الباطن. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله البيع والشراء مع الكفار والإهدار هذا جائز وليس من المواليد، هذا من المعاملات الدنيوية لتبادل المصالح، مثل استئجار الكافر للعمل، هذا ليس من الموالاة. لقد استأجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله بن أريقط ليدله على طريق الهجرة، ليدله على طريق الهجرة. ويجوز أن يؤجر المسلم نفسه على عمل الكافر إذا احتاج المسلم إلى ذلك، وليس من باب المودة. حتى الوالد الكافر والأم الكافرة يجب على الولد أن يضر بهما، وليس هذا من المحبة. وليس هذا من باب المحبة. وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصلحهما في الدنيا معروفا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأم حبيبة صي أمك، وهي كانت كافرة. ويجوز للمسلم أن يتزوج الكتابية، وهذا ليس من موالات الكفار. وهناك بعض التعاملات مع الكفار كالهدنة والأمان مع الكفار، هذا يجري وليس من الموالات. هناك شيء اسمه مداراة، اسمه المداراه. إذا كان المسلمين في خطر وأرادوا أن يدرأوا الخطر عنهم من الكفار فهذا ليس من الموالاة وليس هو مداهنة، فهذا مداراة. المداهنة لا تجوز، لكن المداراة إذا كان على المسلمين أو على المسلم خطر ودفعه ودار الكفار يتوقي هذا الخطر فهذا ليس من المداهنة وليس من الموالاة. فالأمور تحتاج إلى فقه، تحتاج إلى علم. ما كل فعل مع الكفار يفسر بأنه موالاة، فينبغي أن يفهم بيع الشراء والمعاملات ما كل فعل مع الكفار يفسر بأنه موالاة. هذا من الجهل، هذا من الغلط، هذا من التلبيس على الناس. المظاهرة هي المعاونة والمناصرة الكفار بأي نوع من أنواع المؤازرة بدون إذن من الشرع، يقول شيخنا الشيخ زيد وفقه الله. هي المعاونة والمناصرة بأي نوع من أنواع المؤازرة بدون إذن من الشرع وليس من المظاهرة، يقول شيخنا الشيخ زيد. التعامل التجاري والسياسي إذا كان في مصلحة لدولة الإسلام أو دفع ضرر عن الدولة المسلمة فإن هذا مباح مع الاحتفاظ بشعائر الدين ظاهرا وباطنا. وكذلك مع البغض للمشركين ظاهرا وباطنا. ولنعلم جميعا أن المسلم لا يكون مسلما على الصحيح حتى يتبرأ من الكفر والكافرين والشرك والمشركين ظاهرا وباطنا، وأنه لا يكون صاحب سنة إلا إذا التزم بهذا وتبرأ من البدع والمبتدعين. وإن مما ينبغي أن ينبه عليه أن بعض أهل الضلال من أهل التكفير ومن أصحاب دعاة الحزبيات المبتدعة يشنعون على علماء السنة إذا بينوا الحق مثل هذه المسائل ووضحوا متى تكون الموالاة كفرا ومتى لا تكون كفرا، وبينوا ما يجوز التعامل به وما لا يجوز، تجدهم على المواقع والمنتديات ويتكلمون في علماء السنة ويطعنون. فيجب على أهل التوحيد وعلى دعاة السنة أن يحذروا من هذه المواقع ومن دعاة الشر. وأما طعنهم في علماء السنة فليس بغريب، فأهل الباطل يطعنون في دعاة الحق. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قيل عنه ساحر وشاعر وكاهن ويعلمه بشر وغير ذلك، وقد قال يحيى بن سعيد القطان رحمه الله: ما في الدنيا مبتدع إلا وهو يبغض أهل الحديث. وقال أبو زرعة الرازي: من علامة أهل البدع الوقيعة في أهل الأثر. وقال بعض أهل العلم: إذا رأيت الرجل يحب أحمد وإسحاق وقال من علماء السنة فاعلم أنه صاحب سنة، وإذا رأيته يبغضهم فاعلم أنه صاحب بدعة. فقد يرى الإنسان في هذه المواقع والمنتديات من يقع في علماء السنة من أهل التكفير وأهل البدع، فلا ينظر لهؤلاء ولا يستمع لهم ولكذبهم ودجلهم، بل يقال لهم: موتوا بغيظكم. فإن علماء السنة قد بينوا ما ينبغي أن يبين، ووضحوا رحمهم الله، رحم الله من مات ووفق الله الحي. نسأل الله تعالى بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحب ويرضى، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بسم الله بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد. The Sheikh Hafizullah, he began by mentioning Khutbat al-Hajah, and after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the peace and salutations of Allah upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and his offspring and his followers, he said that our noble brothers, we continue with our lesson, which is in the explanation of the nullifiers of Islam. And in the previous lesson we have stopped at the nullifier number 7, and today we take the 8th nullifier of Islam. And it is مظاهرة المشركين ومعاونتهم على المسلمين, trying to give the polytheists victory and assisting them against the Muslims. والدليل قوله تعالى: ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. And the proof is his statement: and whosoever of you take them as allies, then he is from them. Verily Allah does not guide the oppressive people. So the Sheikh, may Allah preserve him, he said that assisting the polytheists and giving them aid and cooperating with them against the Muslims, this is from the type of taking them as allies, which leads to which leads the person to fall into disbelief. And the Sheikh is referring to the type which the intention of the person is to give victory for the polytheists over the Muslims, and to make the polytheists or the disbelievers higher in rank than the Muslims. So the Sheikh said, this is disbelief without any doubt. This is disbelief without any doubt, especially if it was joined with their love, يعني, as well as helping them and seeking that they be over the Muslims and be victorious over them. If it was joined with their love and their desire, and the desire for the person to give them victory, yes, and happiness of their religion prevailing, then this is even worse. This is even more severe. The Sheikh, he continues and he says, our Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he mentioned that whosoever gives assistance and aid to the polytheists and to the disbelievers, the Jews and the Christians, over the Muslims, then this person is to be considered a disbeliever, and his action is disbelief, because assisting or providing assistance to the disbelievers is a proof that the person is taking them as allies, instead of taking the Muslims as allies. And taking the word tawalli, which is to take someone as an ally, the Sheikh said, is a proof that the person actually loves this group of people. When he takes a group of people as allies, this acts or this serves as a proof that he actually loves them. And there is no doubt that this action is disbelief, which takes the person outside the fold of Islam. Naam. And the Sheikh, he continues and he says, our Sheikh, referring to Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he mentioned that the truth which the person should submit to is that if a group of يعني if a group of people from the people of disbelief, they offered to cooperate with us. Yes, they offered to cooperate with us in something which the Islam encourages to forbid. So if a group of the people of disbelief suggested that they would cooperate with the Muslims in something which the Islam forbids and warns against, then the Sheikh said, then this is permissible for us to do. If they're trying to cooperate with us to forbid something which Islam forbids, then this is permissible for us to do. For example, fornication and terrorism. Al-Sheikh said terrorism, meaning all these explosions where people blow up places and so on. And they claim, and they blow up Muslims, and they claim this is from, this act of worship. Yes, so all of these things Islam forbids. So it is permissible for us to cooperate with them in such affairs. However, on the other hand, the Sheikh continues, if a group of disbelieving group offered us to cooperate with us in something which Islam does not permit, forbidden. For example, the wearing the scarf, yes, or growing the beard. So if they offered to cooperate with the Muslims to fight this, wearing the scarf or fighting against growing the beard, then the beard which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to grow, or anything else that is similar to this, then the Sheikh said that it is not permissible to cooperate with them in here, in this situation. And whosoever cooperates with them, then this means that he is taking them as allies. If he cooperates with them in this affair, then this is considered that he's taken them as allies and seeking to give them assistance and aid to be victorious over the people of Islam. And also, this is one type from the types of apostasy, as our Sheikh has mentioned. Then the Sheikh, he continues and he says, taking the disbelievers as allies takes place in three ways. Taking the disbelievers as allies takes place in one of three ways. The first one is that the person becomes an ally to the disbelievers in a complete and absolute way. Then this, if this is the case, then this takes the person out of of Islam. This action takes the person out of Islam, and this is the intent when some people mention that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whosoever of you takes them as allies, then he is from them. Yes, this is the intent behind the verse, that it is absolute and complete assistance and cooperation and taking them as allies. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this one, the first type. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, he said, "O you who believe, do not take my enemy and your enemy as allies." Yes, that you show them love and mercy. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, Sheikh said, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he said that whosoever takes the disbelievers as allies and gives them seeks to give them victory over the Muslims, then he is from the people of from the same religion as them. Whosoever takes the disbelievers and seeks to give them victory over the Muslims, then he is from the same religion as them, and he's following the same path as them. Sheikh Abdul Latif al-Sheikh also mentioned that this verse or this type has been explained in the Sunnah. This type has been explained and restricted and specified in the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which means it is the absolute assistance and affiliation and take them as allies. Yes, so the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that which takes you outside of Islam is when you completely and absolutely take them as allies. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Sa'di also mentioned that when it is complete and absolute, in an absolute sense, this way it becomes a disbelief. Only when it's absolute cooperation and assistance and seeking to give them victory over the Muslims. Only when it's in absolute sense, this way it becomes disbelief. The second way, that was with the first way. The second way, the Sheikh said that the person would take the non-Muslims as allies, يعني for يعني for a private benefit or for something يعني of benefit to him, for the person who is taking the person as ally and for the disbeliever himself, they have a benefit in it. Yes. So the Sheikh said this, the second one, and there is يعني in this one there is no reason for the person to take the disbeliever as an ally. He's not fearing him, or he's not يعني in danger of him. Yes, but he takes him because of a benefit. Yes, he takes him as an ally for a benefit or for يعني a worldly gain. The Sheikh said this is prohibited. This is haram, but it is not shirk. This is haram, but it is not shirk. As that which happened in the story of the companion Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, the companion who the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to go and fight or go to the Quraysh and fight them. Yani he was planning a battle, and this Sahabi who was from the people of Badr, he witnessed the battle of Badr. He wrote to the people in Quraysh, telling them that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intended to come and fight you, because يعني he had family in Mecca who he was scared for. Yes, so he told them, or he sent a woman to يعني with a letter telling the people of Quraysh that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intending to fight you. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent some people, and they caught the woman while she's halfway. And when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, why did you do so? And he told him his reason, because I have a family in Mecca, and يعني, I was scared for them that they may be harmed. One of the companions said, oh Messenger of Allah, let me strike his neck. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, no. He said, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had looked at the people who witnessed the Battle of Badr and said to them, do as you wish, I have forgiven all your sins. Yeah. So the Sheikh said, and Hatib, the companion Hatib, he is from the people who witnessed Badr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he addressed him in the Quran, يعني regarding this story which took place, he addressed him with the name of Iman. So he said, oh you who believe, do not betray Allah and His Messenger in regarding this story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يعني he included him in the people of Iman. The third one, or the third type of يعني taking someone or taking the disbelievers as an ally or as allies, is that يعني it is by way of fearing. You fear for yourself, or you fear for yourself from the disbelievers. Yes? So the ruling in this is that it is permissible, with the condition that taking them as allies is only in the apparent, and not in your intention that you help them and so on, or you take them as allies. Only in the apparent. In the apparent actions, you take them as allies. While inside, of course, you dislike this, but only because you are forced and because of necessity. And the proof is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَى, except in the situation where يعني you pretend to be in such a way that you prevent yourself from being harmed from them. Except in a situation where you pretend يعني with them from your apparent actions, so that you prevent yourself from being harmed. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said that, explaining this يعني, explaining this situation where the person, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he explains this situation where the person fears for himself, and he says the exception is for the person who fears for himself in any country or in any era, and he fears from the evil of the disbelievers. So it is permissible for him to show that he's an ally to the disbelievers from his apparent actions, not from his hidden actions, نعم, or from his intention. So because he said it is permissible for him in any time or in any country that he shows them from his apparent actions that he's an ally of them, but not with his intention. His intention should not be that he's taking them as ally as well. The Sheikh continues and he says, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, he said, doing business transactions and buying and selling with the disbelievers, and also giving them gifts and so on, is permissible.
And it is not a form of taking the disbelievers as allies. Rather, it is from the worldly interactions and dealings. For example, the Sheikh said, hiring a disbeliever to work for you. This is from the things which are permissible. Because from the worldly interaction and dealings. The Sheikh said, this is not from taking the kuffar as allies. For example, taking or hiring a disbeliever to work for you. Because the proof for this is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hired Abdullah bin Urayqit. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hired Abdullah bin Urayqit, who was a disbeliever, to show him the route to Medina. When he intended to migrate to Medina, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hired a disbeliever, who was Abdullah bin Urayqit, to show him as a guide, to show him the route to Medina. And also the Sheikh said, likewise, it is permissible for the Muslim to hire himself, or to work for a disbeliever, if the person or if the Muslim needed to. Yes, and it is not, if he does work for the disbeliever, this is not considered showing love and cooperation and taking him as ally. This is not considered this. Also, the parents, the father and the mother, if they were disbelievers, if they were kuffar, the father and the mother, then it is upon the child to be good to them and be dutiful to them. Yes? And show them goodness. And this is not considered love. This is not considered love to non-Muslims. By him being good to his parents and being dutiful to them, this does not mean that he is he's showing them love. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if they strive to force you to associate that which you do not have any knowledge of with me, then do not obey them. And be dutiful to them in this life. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration, he told Habiba, yes, the companion Habiba, he said to her, when she asked him, he said to her, maintain the ties of kinship with your mother. Because her mother was a disbeliever. So she asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told her, maintain a ties of kinship to your mother. Visit your mother. And she was a disbeliever. Her mother was a disbeliever. Then the Sheikh continues, he says, also it is permissible for the Muslim to marry kitabiyya, from the people of the book. A woman from the people of the book, a Jew or a Christian. It is permissible for the woman to marry a woman from the people of the book, Jews or Christians. And this is also, again, it is not considered it's not considered befriending the non-Muslims or showing them that they were allies with them and so on. It is not considered this. And also the Sheikh said there are also other dealings such as peace treaties, things like that, which also it is for is of benefit, and it's also not considered taking the non-Muslims as allies, like peace treaties and so on. It's also from dealings which is not considered this as well. Then the Sheikh said there is something which is called Al-Mudara, and this is that if the person or if the Muslims, they feel that there is a danger from a group of people, if they were, for example, non-Muslims, if there was a danger for the Muslims from these non-Muslims, then they can implement this Mudara to prevent to deal with them and prevent any harm coming from them. Yes, to prevent any harm coming from them. And the Sheikh said this is not mudahana. Mudahana is the prohibited type, which is you submit to their way and you are pleased with their way. Yes? So the Sheikh said this is not mudahana. This is mudara. Mudara is permissible, where you push off some of their danger without, of course, showing them love and having taking them as allies, yes, and having love for them in your heart and your intention. So the Sheikh said, as long as it is pushing away some danger, yes, and it keeps the disbelievers at bay, then it is permissible. So the Sheikh said, so these affairs, they need knowledge and understanding. These affairs need knowledge and understanding, and it is not for someone to claim that any dealing with the kuffar represents taking them as allies. This cannot be said, that any dealing with kuffar whatsoever can be considered taking them as allies. The Sheikh said this is from ignorance and from falling into mistake. and also from deception, يعني deceiving the people. Yes, you cannot claim this.
Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali حفظه الله, الشيخ سيد أول شيخ زيد المدخلي حفظه الله, he said موالاة, which is hate, يعني take as allies, موالاة is to show يعني assistance and aid and cooperation, yes, without any permission from the legislation. الموالاة taken as يعني taken the disbelievers as allies is, or يعني the meaning of it is that you cooperate, you give assistance, you give victory to the disbelievers without any permission or without يعني any legislation or anything that permits it in the legislation. And also the Sheikh continues, Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, he said, it is not from muwala, it is not from taken as allies, يعني taken the disbelievers as allies, that you deal with them in the matters of politics or in the matters of economics. This is not considered muwala. So this is permissible so that you preserve the symbols of Islam. These things, these dealings in the politics and in the economics and so on, is permissible so that you preserve the symbols of this religion. Also, while showing, يعني in your heart, having hate for these disbelievers. نعم. So this is permissible. And the Sheikh said, so we must all know that the Muslim is not to be يعني a correct Muslim until he frees himself from shirk and from its people. The Muslim is not to be, or is not to be considered يعني a correct Muslim, except when he frees himself from shirk and from the people of shirk, inwardly and outwardly. And also, the person of sunnah is not to be considered a person of sunnah يعني except when he frees himself from shirk and its people, and disbelief and its people. Now, so the Sheikh says here, and something which is worth mentioning here, is that some of the people of misguidance and يعني such as the people of takfir, the people who deem everyone to be disbeliever, and the people of يعني parties, partisanships, they criticize the scholars of sunnah, they criticize the scholars of sunnah when they clarify the different types of taking the disbelievers as allies and which one is permissible or which one is not considered taking them as allies and which one is, and which one takes you out of Islam. Yes, so these people of misguidance, they criticize the scholars when they clarify such affairs, and they always speak about them in the websites and يعني in the internet forums and so on, always criticizing the scholars. So upon the people of sunnah is to be يعني be aware of those people who criticize the scholars. As for the criticism of the scholars, then this is, the Sheikh said, this is not something strange. It's not something strange. And even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was criticized, and they said about him, magician, fortune teller, a poet. They said all these things about him. Naam. So even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said about him that he is a magician, fortune teller, a poet, and so on. The Imam Yahya bin Sa'id al-Qattan, he said in a statement, he said there is not an innovator in this life. There is not an innovator in this life except that he hates the people of hadith. There is not an innovator in this life except that he hates the people of hadith. And also Imam Abu Zur al-Razi, he mentioned that it is from the signs of the people of innovation is that they criticize the people of narrations, yeah, people of athar, the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said the signs of the people of innovation is that they criticize the people of narrations, the people of hadith. So the Sheikh said, so from the people are those who يعني criticize the scholars, so we do not pay any attention to them, we do not listen to them, and we do not listen to their lies. Yes, but we say to them, die in your anger, or burn in your anger. Yes, and we should hold the respect for the scholars, those who clarified for us that which is, or those who clarify for us and clarified for us that which is permissible and that which is not permissible, and those scholars, some of them who passed away and some of them who are still alive. نعم صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, استغفرك واتوب إليك.